Let's see. And, well, Sister Sharon, would you like to take us to the throne of grace in opening?
Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to come together with our brethren, those of like precious faith, to discuss your word. We thank you for the many, many blessings of this week. We thank you for all the experiences of the week. Praying as always that you'd help us to learn the lessons that you want us to learn from the various experiences in our lives. I'm mindful of our brethren who are going through difficult trials and experiences, sicknesses and other issues, and as well as the joys of our brethren as they share them with us. We ask particularly that you'd be with Brother Rick this morning as he leads this study, that we would take away from this study and from our personal testimony those things which you want us to keep in our hearts through the week. We ask all these things, as always, praying for the full establishment of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We give you thanks and praise in the most holy name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Let's see. To begin with, do we have any love to bring?
Brother Rick, I've got a whole lot, but I'm going to just save it for part of my testimony, if that's okay.
All right. And anyone else have love to bring?
Love from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday study, and also the sisters' meeting on Tuesday morning.
All right. All right. Okay. Thank you. So basically, that would be from our Ithaca brethren from New Albany. And of course, those that meet on that sister study. All right. Any other love to bring? All right. You know, I'm trying to get back into the swing of things after having Brother Wilmot with us last Sunday. That was nice to have him. All right, let's see. Do we, before we get into our testimony, do we have any class business?
Brother Rick, we have a little class business. First of all, okay, I'll go from starting in the wrong end, but we do have Brother Steve Yike scheduled to serve the class on March 18th. This will be part of my testimony, but it can just be in here for now. I think I shared with everybody 2 weeks ago that that Debbie Yike has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and the latest update on that is that she's most likely going to have surgery next week, this week on Thursday. When I talked to them a couple days ago, they're still planning to come up that weekend. Some modifications in the plan, but that's only from our end. That doesn't affect Sunday with the class. But I gave them, I said it was with full understanding that if things don't go as well for her as planned or she does not feel up to making that trip, we would certainly release them from their obligation. But at this point, Brother Steve is still planning to be here March 18th. The other issue of business is that next Sunday, the 25th, is scheduled for a face-to-face meeting. I talked with Sister Jean during the week, and at this point, the Leslies would like to keep that as a face-to-face meeting. But if things change for them during the week, there are some things health-wise that may come up. Then, you know, as we do, we'll take that a day at a time, and just so everybody has a heads up that we may need to change that to a phone study. But at this point, it's okay with them for it to be face-to-face.
All right. Thank you. Now I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Yeah.
And what I'm noticing is because of the planned service of Brother Yike on the 18th, we open March, which would be 2 weeks from today, with a conference call. And the week after that is also a conference call. So it would be...
Oh, sorry. I apologize. The reason for that is that Ginger and I are hoping to
right.
be gone to the March convention.
Okay.
The first week in March, and probably Marvel also.
All right. All right. So we should probably leave it at that then.
Yeah,
okay, thank
should,
you.
We should leave it. All right.
Because, so we have March 4th and the 11th set up as a conference call. Okay. Now, the other thing that I wanted to bring up related to the schedule is that our last memorial study is Sunday, March 25th. That's the week after Brother Yike's service, assuming that still goes. Then on that Thursday is the memorial. So that's, as normal, it's right around 8 o'clock. So what we currently have scheduled is the following Sunday, so Thursday night, and everyone gets in late Thursday. So you've got Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. At the moment is also set up as face-to-face. Now, I don't know what's going to happen going forward, but we may want to think about, do we want to swap that? In other words, starting with April 1st, which is just 2 or 3 days after Memorial, we're set at face-to-face and we do our alternating, and we really don't have anything else set up yet on our schedule. So just be continuing to alternate Sunday to Sunday. So face-to-face conference call, face-to-face conference call. So really the question would be on April the 1st, if we still want to have that as a face-to-face, or do we want to swap and,
Okay. Brother Rick, could I weigh in on that?
I suppose you could.
Okay, thanks. Because, there's always more in a good way. I would think it would be a very prudent idea to just swap from there with making April 1st be a conference call and then letting the rotation fall for now. We're tentatively scheduled to have Michael Balco and Rick Sconyers. I don't even want you to write this down yet, and I'll tell you why. They're slotted for May 20th, but our household has a lot of indefinite things going on in May, June, and July, and I'm not sure yet that we can accommodate them. We may need to swap that weekend out. But if that weekend stays as it is, then it would be on the right rotation. Does that make sense? Is that clear?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would go ahead and switch April 1st to conference, and then, we'll have to make other adjustments down the way.
All right. All right, thank you. All right, do we have any other suggestions here, or does everyone follow that?
Yeah.
Good. I was glad to hear a yay in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, let's see if I just did works. Okay. That'll be simple enough.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Do we have any other class business? No, I know that's going out a little ways, so on that schedule. So if anyone has any questions, just go ahead and look at the schedule. I'll get that posted out there in just a couple minutes. And we can always, of course, have discussion and change that if we need to. Right? In fact, that schedule should be out there now. Let's see, if does anyone else have any business or anything we need to bring up before devotions? All right. If not, Brother Ron, I guess we can turn it over to you for our devotions.
All right, I'm ready. Can we have a volunteer to read our manna for this wonderful morning?
I have it.
Go ahead, Ginger.
The Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 13:3. The kingdom is only intended for those who, by God's grace, shall at heart become like to the Lord Jesus, in that they will love the Lord with all their hearts, with all their souls, and be able to say, not my will, but thy will, O Lord, be done. No other condition than this of full submission to the Lord can make us acceptable for the kingdom. For no other condition represents full self-submission and full love to God. And let us not forget that all the heavenly things which eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, God hath reserved for them that love him supremely. The Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 13:3.
Thank you. Now, if we can get a volunteer to read our promise for this morning, it's Matthew 5:5.
I can read, Brother Ron.
Go ahead there, Marva.
Exceeding great and precious promise. Blessed are the meek. Matthew 5:5. The Century Dictionary defines meek as self-controlled and gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, forbearing under injury or annoyance. Webster defines meekness as submissive to the divine will, patience, and gentleness. The reward of disgrace, like the others, is future. These shall be heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, is part of that great inheritance, which in turn, by divine arrangement, they shall bestow at the close of the millennial age upon the world of mankind. And then it's reprint 2586. Exceeding great and precious promise, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5.
Thank you, Harva. Now, who would like to be first this morning to comment and or testify?
Well, Brother Ron, it's Sharon. I'll start this out, and I'll try not to be too lengthy with this, but this has been a very busy week for us spiritually, it feels like there's just really a lot going on with the brethren, and that the brethren have a lot on their plates. And sometimes I think they always do, and we're maybe just more connected with the brethren than we were before. But just briefly, and some of you may know some of these brethren, some may not, but as a result of our Tuesday morning and Thursday afternoon studies, in addition to regular correspondence, Sister Martha Lancaster, who's on our Tuesday and Thursday studies, who is from Connecticut or somewhere in the Northeast. Sister Martha Lancaster has been battling shingles for several weeks. I know some of you have had problems with shingles, but she has been sick enough that the last we heard on Tuesday, they were considering hospitalizing her. Now, I don't know if she maybe also had the flu. I don't know any details on that, but she certainly needs prayers. We heard that Sister Helen and Brother Cliff Jacobs from Orlando, who some of you may know, have been having problems with health and with aging and are having problems staying in their own home. Sister Imogene and Brother Ed Bleachers, who I think all of you know, have sold their home and have moved to smaller. They've had to downsize, so that in itself is always traumatic. And Sister Imogene does have some dementia, so that makes those changes more difficult. Sister Carol Tennant from Michigan has been struggling with, she's a very special friend of Sister Marge Hagensick and has been helping Sister Marge in the past with her illnesses. But Sister Carol's daughter, Michelle Ray, who symbolized her consecration a couple of years ago, has been having a very major health problem involving her esophagus. We don't know any real details on that. Sister Ray McWhorter had problems with health. I didn't hear anything recent, but both Sister Barbara Hughes and Sister Eleanor Nichols had falls in the last week that did not result in serious injury, but still difficulties. Brother Stanley Loper, who we've reported on before, I heard was back. He had been hospitalized a week or so ago and was then back in the emergency room. For those who know Brother Stanley, he has a lot of chronic ongoing health problems, but he's in Brunswick, Georgia. I don't think he really has any family there. He's more or less isolated. So we definitely have brethren in need of prayer. The report on Steve and Debbie Yike I already gave, but they did send their love. They're very optimistic. Their spirits are good. And then also on the positive side, love from the Thursday Sisters meeting, love especially from Sister Clanky, love from Bob and Cheryl Goodman. And then the big news is our Sister Audrey, and I think you probably, almost all of you heard that she's not just on the phone with us today, she has moved back to Georgia. And so that was the very, very beautiful surprise call of the week. And I know that those of you who haven't met Sister Audrey in person, we're looking forward to it. We're hoping, again, to be able to have that face-to-face meeting next week, if it's the Lord's will. And we know we're very flexible on those meeting schedules because we all have things that come up. And then the last thing I'd like to mention is also love from Brother George Wilmot, who we've been in touch with since his visit last weekend. And I was hoping Mary and Mike would be on because I guess they're the ones particularly that didn't have an opportunity to meet him and spend any time with him. But when we, quite frankly, when we first knew that Brother George was coming, we're pretty used to having brethren come up on Saturday afternoon. We visit for a while. We have some dinner. We go to the meeting Sunday, and then they go on afterwards. So when we have house guests for longer than that, it's, you know, obviously a little bit more to think through and wonder how it's going to go. But I have to say that I don't think Dan and I have ever had a house guest that we enjoyed quite as much as Brother George. And for one thing, he's 88 years old. And to just look at him and see his vitality and the amazing way that he keeps on going. He's had a lot of life changes. He's had a lot of loss, as everyone has, but he just keeps on going. And I was looking at the exceeding great and precious promise about blessed are the meek. And I guess if I had to say one thing about him, that's what I would pick out. The self-controlled and gentle, not easily provoked. And, I mean, we had a lot of conversations with him, a lot of little meals. Sister Ginger nailed it when she said his whole mission statement is telling the old story and telling it in different ways depending on the audience he's addressing. But that's his forte. That's what he does. And we were very impressed with him in so many ways. He really showed so much love and gentleness and made a real impact in our lives. It was also very positive for Beth because, again, Beth and Dan are the two unconsecrated members of our fellowship. And there's a little bit different way that you approach that situation. He seemed to just find the right way to do it. So having him here was a very special blessing. It was very bittersweet because, again, at his age, you don't know how many occasions like that there will be. So we have been thanking God for that. Very great privilege of having had him here. And we were very appreciative also of Sister Ginger opening her home and Gene and Ted opening their home so that we could spread that blessing around as much as possible. So that's all. I'm just praising the Lord. And there's a lot more that could be said, but we'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Who would like to be next this morning?
Brother Ron, well, first, Sister Ginger, first of all, I'm thankful to the Heavenly Father for all of his blessings and the blessing of last week. And Sister Sharon, that was a beautiful testimony on behalf of Brother George. And I, too, was been thinking, you know, off and on all week about how special he really was. In addition to that, a couple of days ago was the anniversary of my mom's death. Many of you know, most of you, you know, knew her or met her. And so I'm appreciating this man and the promise because the promise was one of her very favorite scriptures. And then to bring them together, it's how she struggled when she was disfellowshipped from the JWs about them making her believe or think that God did not love her, and she had so much love for the Heavenly Father, and so it's just kind of timely how these two are brought together today on our Sunday meeting, and so I'm just really reflecting and thinking about these two, this devotion, and thinking of her, and praying for the kingdom. Thank you.
Thank you. We're all wondering and waiting what the next day will bring for us. Who would like to be next?
Brother Ron?
Go ahead, Brother Rick.
We appreciate hearing the testimonies of our brethren. And it's nice to know that the fellowship of the Lord's people is still precious to us. We try always to keep the priorities, you know, as they're supposed to be. And sometimes, you know, you can get it turned around, which is one of the reasons why we have to keep going back to the scriptures to make sure that we are in a line with what the Lord wants. And in going there, what we have all found is that there's a priority. Our love for the Lord is first, mm-hmm. Lord and His Son.
Mm-hmm.
The truth, that's the common bond that we all look to, and of course for that, that's especially important with the Holy Spirit. And then the brethren, that's the priority. And then, of course, after that, do good unto all men as you have opportunity, especially to the household of faith. So when we hear the brethren talking about other brethren and the blessings the Lord has given and the trials and experiences that our brethren are going through, it reminds us of this manna for today, because that's what's going on to us all. You know, what son is he whom the father will not chastise? Now, it may not always be necessarily chastisements that we're going through, but we do go through the experiences that are specifically for us. And because we've learned of the importance of testimony meetings, and we share these experiences, which for some of us is not what we naturally would do. Naturally, we would just keep them all completely to ourselves, maybe not say anything. But we don't keep quiet. We speak up because we understand that what we're doing is sharing with our brethren, and they get to see the Lord working in our life. And they usually find out, or we usually find out, that our experiences are not unique to us. They may be shaped especially for us as individuals, but by sharing it, the rest of the brethren come away by saying, wow, I thought maybe it was just me. And of course the answer is no. And the purpose of our trials and experiences is exactly what the Lord says here in this manna text of Deuteronomy 13:3. God is proving us to know where our heart is. Is it really centered upon Him? Is that what we love the most? Him and His Word and those that have that same love. Is that where our hearts are centered? So we thought that was, you know, it's such a good text. And I didn't realize, Sister Ginger, that this was anniversary of your mom's graduation.